This is Chris Bleck on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Bleck and Abdallah podcast. It's presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill. You'll hear Game 7 of the Thunder and the Rockets here on ESPN 1000 at 8 o'clock. Tonight's going to be a big game for James Harden. He can't lose this contest against the Thunder. I mean, in the first round, going to the seventh game against a team that you really should have taken care of business already with, the Oklahoma City Thunder, and I get it, give Chris Paul all the credit in the world and what that team's put together, especially in a season where they were trading away their best player and trying to get draft assets and trading away Paul George and getting all this collateral to kind of build towards the future with Sam Presti and the Thunder. I mean, James Harden, you can't lose in the first round of the playoffs when you are a player who is arguably a top five player and someone who the Rockets have basically changed around their team three or four times now to try and make it work with you. For Daryl Morey, the Houston Rockets, and James Harden, they have to win tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. And you just wonder if that old James Harden is going to, the playoff James Harden is going to show up. And playoff James Harden's not good. You know, this is, remember, this is the Rockets team that couldn't hit a three-point shooter to save their lives. They shot like 100 of them in that one playoff game where it was an elimination
game. Seven against the Warriors. Seven, yeah. They could have won, but they missed all the threes down the stretch.
Exactly. And so you wonder if that happens again tonight, if that's something that continues to plague James Harden, and if, you know, this is a legacy-defining moment because you have to get out of the first round. Like, you have to get out of this. You have to progress. This is a team, Chris, where you were talking to me about, would you be shocked if the Rockets won? And I always said yes because they haven't been able to do anything before. James Harden hasn't been able to get out like this before. He hasn't had success in the playoffs. So would I be surprised, as you asked me a month ago when this started, if one of the teams to win the NBA title this year was the Rockets? And I said yes, because I don't believe in James Harden in the playoffs.
Yeah,
I just don't believe it.
And you know, the one thing, the player that I continue to think about when I think about James Harden, like, I'm not going to discredit his game. He is a fantastic player. The problem is, like, this run with the Rockets is starting to turn into Carmelo Anthony with the Knicks and the Nuggets. You know, like, he's just going to be, unless they get through this and they really give the Lakers a run, which, listen, if they win tonight against the Lakers, I'm not sold that the Lakers are the best team in the Western Conference. So I'd be totally okay with looking at the matchups with Westbrook and Eric Gordon and Harden and their ability to go small, challenging LeBron and AD. Maybe not beating them, but challenging them. But if they lose in the first round, I mean, isn't this basically Carmelo Light?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because you look at Harden, he's a Hall of Famer, but at the same time,
like, he's going to go down as one of those Hall of Famers that everyone's going to immediately knock, like, yeah, he couldn't win anything.
He couldn't win anything. He's a stat filler, never played any defense, just chucked up a bunch of shots. And you're like, okay, well, that's great. You know, he's had some success, but he hasn't had a ring. He doesn't have a ring.
Well,
he doesn't have getting out of this round.
And what's been the, like, bugaboo and what's been the blockade in front of the Rockets the last 5 years?
It's been the Warriors.
Where are they at? Are they playing in the bubble?
No.
Do the Rockets have to worry about the Splash Brothers?
Well, Westbrook's only going to play 30 minutes tonight, so.
Well, I'm just saying, in the bubble, do the Rockets have to worry about the Splash Brothers and Draymond in the bubble?
No splashing in the bubbles.
Oh, okay, so isn't the West wide open for them?
You would think.
And, like, that's where you build this team. And if you're Daryl Morey, I mean, he's done all the mad scientific tinkering with this group, and he eventually got to a point this year where they're like, all right, we're not playing centers. We're not doing that. We're just going to play little guards. We're going to shoot threes. Mm-hmm. We're going to hope that our defense can withstand it. But we're going to shoot so many threes that we're going to be able to outscore you. I mean, if you look at the last contest, the Thunder beat the Rockets 104 to 100. The Rockets shot 15 of 44 from three, 34%. you know, you look at the Thunder, a team that's playing a center, a team that's playing some bigs. They shot 33%, 12 of 36. Like, it's not like the Rockets have this great, the scale is tipped in their favor in some great fashion. You're right, Abdallah. It's going to be James Harden's going to have to show up tonight and give you 45. He's going to have to do it himself, and he's going to have to prove why he's one of the best players in the league.
And I just don't know if he's capable of doing that. I don't know if he alone, you know, with Westbrook only playing 30 minutes, and Eric Gordon, I don't know if this is going to be enough. Like, I don't know if the Rockets have enough, and unless he has some great shooting night and this goes down as one of Harden's best performances, I don't know if they have enough to win a game seven tonight. To me, I'm looking at this earlier, whether or not who I'm going to bet, right?
Yeah.
And the instinct goes, bet against James Harden in a game seven. Just do it. Because that's the instinct.
Even in the first round?
Well, I mean, do you think they're going to win tonight?
Yeah, I think so. I think the Rockets win tonight.
All right.
And I stand by what I said, you know, 2 minutes ago, that I think this Rockets team could pose a challenge and a threat to the Lakers. Like, I wouldn't just assume that because you have AD and you have LeBron, like, the Rockets are better than the Blazers. And, like, the Blazers fooled a lot of us because they had that great run leading up to the playoffs in the bubble. But really, they don't have quite enough. But, like, this Rockets team, like, deep down, like, these guys have all been in battles. Like, P.J. Tucker is a good veteran player. Robert Covington is a good vet. You know, they have guys who in a tough game, and like, that's why here in a game seven tonight that you can hear on ESPN 1000, like, I would expect those guys to step up tonight as well. You're going to get one of the others to pitch in a little, and Westbrook, stay under control. Listen, you're a part of the problem. Seven turnovers in the last game, including one at the very end that threw the game away. You're going to have to get it under control.
There was an article that you told me about on The Ringer, and it talks about Westbrook's inefficiency in these playoffs and Westbrook has had 14 playoffs games with at least seven turnovers in the 100 total playoff games he's played, which is a higher rate than any of the 23 players with more than 2 7 turnover games since his career started. He's also one of the most inefficient of 82 players. With over 500 shots during those playoff years, he ranks 70th in true shooting percentage.
It's bad, right? So, you know, like, he's got to play under control, and hopefully his athleticism and getting to the basket, creating for Harden, allow Harden to do his little dribble dance move that he does out 45 feet away from the hoop, and then he can do his double step back like he's doing a salsa dance. Hit some threes. They're going to need P.J. Tucker to hit threes from the corner pocket. And they're going to need to rebound as a team and kind of not allow Chris Paul to dictate the pace of the game. Because that's what Chris Paul is great at. He is fantastic at manipulating the pace of a game and working the officials and the fouls in his favor. And that's where you see, like, that's why it was surprising that the Rockets last year didn't do better. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where... You know, like, when he and Harden were teamed up, it's surprising that that kind of was sour at the end, because I thought that that was a perfect mix. All right, so Rockets Thunder coming up at 8 o'clock. I just wanted to get that out there. So you mentioned The Ringer. Did you see this article on The Ringer about what happened to the summer camp movie? Now, I know most kids are either e-learning at home and they're back in class, back to school, or they've found a way to get kids in schools. But basically, we've hit the back-to-school time on the calendar. So summer camps are long gone. But I was thinking about this earlier today because I never really had the experience of going away to summer camp.
Bro.
Did you go to summer camp?
A lot. I went to a week-long summer camp. It was usually the first week of August every year.
Okay.
And I went so long that I went from... camper to counselor.
You were there that many years.
So I went 8 years, 8 or 9 years.
So you were a little kid at the camp, and then you turned into the big.
It's not like a little kid. It's an overnight camp, so it's not like a little kid. Like I think you have to be 12 to go.
Okay, all right, okay. Little kid. So, yeah. And then you're a high schooler, right?
Like, you basically have to be cool to be away from your parents for a week. You know, like there was always that one kid that like needed to call their parents and like get them picked up like after the second night because they're like, I can't do this. Like I'm homesick.
What's wrong with it? Like
they would just get homesick. I don't know. They would just get homesick. I don't know.
Were you ever friends with that kid?
No, God, no, no.
Were you ever that kid?
No, no. I loved being away for a week. It was awesome. And so I would go and, you know, and then I became, then I was, I think you can go up until from like the age of like, I think it was 10. You had to be 10 years old. And then you could go until you were like 14. But then I just became a counselor. Like they would just like let me be a I was just a counselor after that for like 4 years. I was a counselor until I was like 17. I was a counselor. And basically like it was awesome. I loved it. I loved going away for a week because you got to. So it was a camp that was run by people. But they would rent it out.
I would hope by people.
No, let me explain this. So like it was
not
a camp.
Zombies
no,
or
it
aliens,
was run by like not like a company,
robots,
but they own the property.
I would hope people.
So they had their own. It wasn't like a service, but it was like this guy owned this property and he had like a staff. And then you would bring in and then they had like cabins. And so like his staff would lead the activities. So like you had counselors that like stayed in the cabins with the
sounds like a cult.
No. But then like so, but each week like a different group would come in. So like we would our group would come in. It was a Muslim camp. So we would go and like we'd go for a week, and then they'd have a camper of like from like a Christian youth group, and then they would have like a they would tell us like this. So they would. The thing they would do, so we'd do these activities. We'd do like rock climbing and you'd go on like nature walks and everything. And every time someone would have like a problem with it, they'd be like, you know, 2 weeks ago we had a blind camp come through here and they did it just fine. And so like they would basically rent out their camp, but they had a staff of people who were trained to lead these activities. They would be the lifeguards at the pool. They would lead the canoe trips. They would lead. So they were there to like, they would cook all the food. Their staff would do all of this for us. Whereas like we had counselors that would kind of like discipline kids if they were bad. And like, you know, like that kind of thing. Like we'd yell at kids.
What were the
like,
activities?
So we had rock climbing.
Okay.
We had archery.
Okay.
We had like a challenge hike, which is basically you would walk on a path and then you'd be like, okay, we're going to just walk into the woods now off the path. And so you'd do that.
Isn't that how kids get lost?
No, you would stay with people.
Right.
We had like a river walk. We had, did I say canoeing? We had canoeing.
Okay.
We had you could go to the pool. We had swimming.
So,
yeah.
So because I never went away to summer camp,
camp
I,
awesome.
I wrote down a couple things that I associate with summer camp.
You never went.
No, I know, but I've consumed pop culture. I've watched shows where kids go away to summer camp. I've watched movies. This article on The Ringer is about summer camp movies, like Wet Hot American Summer,
yeah,
stuff like that,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Here are the things I wrote down. You tell me if I'm right and whether or not that this is what I should associate with summer camp.
Okay, cool.
Well, the first one's kind of lame because I wrote down canoes and you just said you canoed.
Yeah, we did canoe. You'd okay. go on.
So, that,
you
so would I got do, that right. I got
you would
that right.
do like there's oh the big thing if you were a big blanker, you'd go to
a big
a,
what
a, if you were a big tough guy.
Oh, okay,
you would go on a challenge canoe, which is where you'd canoe and then you'd have to like carry the canoe through the woods like on stuff, and then you'd canoe to another part of the lake and you'd walk to like another part of the river or whatever. I mean not lake, river.
Would you put it over your head and like,
yeah, like you'd have to have like two people, you'd be you and another kid would like carry it.
All right.
And then like it was called challenge, it was basically a combination of challenge hike and canoe.
I hope the Twitchers got that video of me trying to carry my canoe. Okay, so I said canoe. Bunk beds.
Oh yeah. Yeah, bunk beds.
Lots of bunk
always,
beds?
Always right. bottom bunk.
Okay.
Never top bunk. Always bottom bunk.
Why? You afraid of rolling off?
No, I didn't. I didn't want.
Don't
to.
Don't you want to survey and see what's going on?
Well,
room?
No. First of all, as a counselor, I had to be closest to the door, just in case someone tried to sneak out. So, and I had to be. I couldn't be jumping off and like trying to get a kid. Like I had to be. I had to be efficient with where I slept.
Did you ever do the tape trick on the door to make sure the kids didn't open the door throughout the night?
No, I'm just a very light sleeper. So if you got up, I'd know.
What a joy. Pine trees.
Yeah,
pine trees is what I think about with summer
There's
camp.
A lot of trees. I did have to go home early one year. One year I had to leave early because I have seasonal allergies, and this is the year, like, they were so bad. I was on nasal spray. I was on Afrin. I was basically taking every allergy drug available, and, like, my eyes were all swollen up, and finally they're just like, dude, you just need to go home. Like, you just need air conditioning and need to go home. So I had, that was the one year I left, like, 2 days early.
Okay, the last thing that I associate with summer camps, big dining halls.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like big dining halls with long tables. And
big. I'll tell you this, big dining hall, and I don't know if this was at other summer, at other camps, but they always were very cognizant of how much you ate and, like, what you would waste, basically. Because they want to be efficient. They want to be energy efficient. They want to limit waste. So
you went to a green summer camp?
No. But, like, don't make yourself 3 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and eat 2.5 of them and throw the other half away.
No, I would hide it under my pillow and have it.
Well, then you get critters. You don't want critters in your bed. That was a big thing. We'd have canteen. I got you. We'd have canteen, right? We'd have canteen.
Critters in the bed.
And you'd bring money and you'd put it in the canteen so you could buy stuff once a day. You'd buy real food. You'd buy, like, you know, like ice cream and candy and, like, soda and all that pop and all that kind of stuff. Well, I mean, like, real, like, you wouldn't, it wasn't like mess hall stuff, right?
Critters.
And the thing was, don't buy too much and take it back to the cabins because I don't want a mouse in the, I don't want a mouse in the house, basically. And so you can't put stuff under your bed because I don't want a mouse in the house.
Critters in the bed, huh?
You don't want critters. And then we'd prank people. Someone would always bring, like, a fake snake. And you'd put it in, so you'd find out who was afraid of snakes, and you'd put it in their sleeping bag, and we were so mean to kids. And, like, if it was, I would like to say that I was a cool counselor.
Oh, sure, because of course. Put the snake in the bag.
Yeah, because if it was harmless, go ahead.
Yeah, the kid's traumatized now for the rest of his life, thinking there's going to be a snake in the bed. Coming up next, we talk with Mina Kimes about the NFL.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
We're just over a week away from the start of the NFL season. Did you see this earlier today, Adam, on ESPN.com? Saints running back Alvin Kamara returned to practice on Wednesday after a source described what was an unexcused 4-day absence, which was believed to be a contract-related issue. A lot of people here in town suggesting the Bears should maybe try and trade for Alvin Kamara. You and I disagree with that. But really, this Saints team, looking forward into this season, once again, their title window is open. They just haven't yet been able to get there to win Super Bowl, one last one for Drew Brees.
You mean they figured out a way to figure out a deal for one of the best running backs in football? No way.
I just thought, like, if you're going to be trading things for running backs, like, I don't understand the premise there.
I wouldn't put anything past Ryan Pace.
He does hand out draft picks like lollipops, so that is fair. Let's talk to one of our favorite guests, Mina Kimes from ESPN. She's an NFL analyst, and she joins us right now here on ESPN 1000. You can follow her on Twitter at Mina Kimes. Mina, when you look at the Saints' situation with Alvin Kamara, do you think they'll be able to trade him, or do you think that he's eventually going to kind of fall in line with the Saints and he'll be there for this season?
The rumors feel a little bit like blustering to me. I think they're going to try to keep him. That said, if they were offered a first or even a second for him, they would be crazy not to do it. Kamara's a great player, but we're talking about a Saints team that, if the cap stays flat, has negative $78 million in cap space next year. And then they've got a slew of other very good players, including their tackles, who are excellent. Teron Armstead, Ryan Ramczyk, Marshawn Lattimore, Marcus Williams, who play positions that are a lot harder to reproduce production at than running back, that they have to pay soon. So if I'm running that team, I understand they're all in on this season, and they're going to pay him, I believe, because of that. But I would not break the bank.
I'm looking at the NFC West, and I'm also looking at 4 playoff teams, because I think the Cardinals can take a jump. I don't know if they're actually going to make the playoffs this year, but I think Kyler Murray in his second year is going to take a jump. Who do you think can come out of the NFC West, and is this the best division in the NFL?
definitely the best division in the NFL. And I've got definitely two playoff teams in San Francisco and Seattle, and two marginal wild card teams in the Rams and the Cardinals. I mean, that division's a hellscape, to be honest. Like, it's going to be absolutely brutal between these teams, which is a shame, because I think, you know, the Cardinals are absolutely a rising team with an exciting young offense. Of course, the Hopkins trade was bananas. I think the defense is still a year or two away, frankly, but if they were in another division, yeah, I think they'd have a really good shot of it.
When we look specifically at the Seahawks, Mina, like, is Russell Wilson going to have enough help offensively to be able to do this? It felt like at times in the past, it's like Russell has to do everything for the Seahawks to win a football game.
Yeah, I think that's more of a consequence of play calling, frankly, than it is of talent. Well, on the offensive line, it's not good. But, yeah, he's actually a pretty nice skill group there with a 1-2 punch of Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. They just added Paul Richardson and Philip Dorsett in the offseason, so they've got some speed. I think at the tight end position, they're pretty well-equipped as well with Will Disley and Greg Olsen, Chris Carson at running back. Defense is fine. Problem is, my personal view of the Seahawks is that they run too much on early downs and put their offense in adverse situations, which Russell Wilson's a magician, so he can overcome. But I would prefer that they pass a bit more, especially in the first half.
Everyone here in Chicago, when they look at the Lions, they just put two wins next to those two games on the schedule.
Ooh.
Is it exactly? Yes.
I wouldn't do that.
Yes, exactly. And we here, Chris Black and I, have been trying to tell people that the Lions are going to be better this year. They may not win the division, but they're going to be a lot better. So sell other people on the Lions, please.
Well, the case for the Lions is that they were incredibly unlucky last year in one-score games, which is usually a good predictive metric to tell if teams going to improve going forward, and they lost their quarterback halfway through the season. Before he was injured, Matt Stafford was playing the best football of his career. That is a very good offense. Now, defense is another question. I mean, the Bears have a better defense, for example, which is why I wouldn't say, you know, necessarily the Lions are going to beat Chicago. I think they have pretty disparate skill sets, but this is absolutely a playoff, like a wild card. Well, you know what? The NFC North, there's really no favorite. I've been saying that all offseason. It's very unclear, frankly, who's going to come out of this division to me, and it's not outside their own possibility that Lions could win, even though I think they're a highly imperfect team.
And specifically when we look at the Packers, Mina, you know, Aaron Rodgers was really good last year. What'd he have? He threw like four interceptions the entire season. They went 13-3, but they got blown out by the 49ers in the playoffs. And then they go out in the first round and they draft Jordan Love and a quarterback who is eventually going to replace Aaron Rodgers. So when you look at the Packers heading into this year, obviously you just said that you don't think anyone's really the clear-cut favorite, but what do the Packers need to do to be a better football team than the 13-3 team we saw get blown out by the 49ers?
Well, the defense, so the Packers are the opposite of the Lions in terms of getting lucky. Lions were incredibly unlucky last year. The Packers were incredibly lucky in one-score games, that kind of thing, with turnovers and all of that. So they need to not regress, which is kind of a hard prescription. I think the defense has a lot of talent at every level but linebacker, which they basically punted on, which is interesting because they got run all over in that Niners game. But you're going to want to see that defense sustain the level of play you saw last year, albeit inconsistently. And Rodgers, yeah, you know, he had a good touchdown to interception ratio, but it was not one of his better seasons. If you really kind of dig into his performance, he was good, not great. You know, he doesn't kind of conservative. You still have the occasional really explosive play, but, you know, missed a lot of the plays, sort of the gimme stuff in the short and intermediate area that he used to get with more regularity. That offense is evolving. I think that was signified not just by the Love pick, which is more about the future of the franchise, but taking, you know, running back and a tight end early on instead of adding skill at wide receiver, they're going to throw it less. And I think that the goal is to have something sort of similar to what San Francisco does, but the execution of that is not easy.
Staying in the division, Matt Nagy has officially closed the quarterback competition. He's not going to tell us who's going to win because he's going to sit there and watch all of these snaps. They're going to watch all the snaps together and figure out who is going to be the starter and name a starter sometime next week. What do you make of the Bears quarterback challenge, I guess? I don't know what to
challenge.
Call it.
Challenge
I don't know what to call it. Yeah,
that's challenging for sure. Yeah, for all of us Bears fans.
Feel challenged. Listen, I said this on NFL Live yesterday. If I'm a Bears fan, I'm praying it's false. You know what you have in Mitch Trubisky at this point. Sorry to say it. It was Foles. You know, he's not the Super Bowl Foles. He's not. You also know kind of what you have in him, which is an inconsistent quarterback who has flashes of greatness, but plays the position competently and throws the ball downfield, and you can open up the offense with him. You know, with Trubisky, I think the dream was maybe you could build something a little bit more college style and run heavy, the way you've seen certain offenses around the league have success with. But even if you were going in that direction and using his feet more, the throwing, just the decision making, just isn't there. So with Foles, at least you get some upside, I think, and you know, you can make better use of Allen Robinson and company.
Mina Kimes talking football with Chris Black and Am Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. If they do go with Mitch Trubisky and he starts off slow, would you have concerns for the Bears to make the playoffs? Because that's something we've been talking about, is like, how could you let the team down? We've seen enough from Trubisky to know that if he goes out there and struggles, chances are the playoff hopes for this team, for this franchise, will kind of go with it.
Yeah, you're not making the playoffs. But also beyond that, you're risking the entire locker room turning in on. I mean, you haven't seen what's happened in Jacksonville, which is, I hate to say it, but a little bit of a warning case for Chicago. Now, I don't think Chicago's going to extend Trubisky the way, you know, Jacksonville extends Bortles, which ended up being sort of the beginning of the end for them. But that defense, that great defense, it regressed, and the Bears defense regressed a little bit last year. I think they'll bounce back for various reasons. And they sort of turned on the offense because it's tiring to play defense at a high level and to constantly have to go out after your offense doesn't score. It's morally, or not morally, it hurts. So I think they have to make the right call, not just for the future of the franchise, but for the present state of the team. And that means a very quick hook on Trubisky if they're going to go with him.
As far as the Bucs go, does Tom Brady have enough left in the arm to run what Bruce Arians wants to run?
His arm's fine. Actually, it's interesting because I think sometimes with older quarterbacks, we assume the decline is arm strength related. It's what we saw with Manning. So I think it's kind of what you're saying with Breeze in New Orleans. But Tom Brady, his issue last year wasn't his deep ball. Actually, it looked fine when he threw it. It was the fact that he did not trust his wide receivers correctly, right? And also has been responding a little bit differently to the blitz and pressure, and that might have something to do with age. So I think in that Bruce Arians offense, which is, it's not going to be what, you know, it's been in the past with Jameis or Carson Palmer. He's going to make some adjustments to Brady. But with those skill players behind a decent offensive line, I don't think you'll have any trouble airing it out.
Is there a team you look at and you say that team's going to surprise people this season?
I kind of think the Lions, but I've got Cleveland making the playoffs, which feels like a fool me once situation, but I think the talent on that team, the specific ways in which they struggled last year, and the change in coaching staff is going to have a very positive effect on them.
And then the opposite, do you think there's a first to worst team that's going to be that's going to happen this year?
Ooh, first to worst.
Maybe not necessarily worst, but can the Titans keep this going, like that kind of thing?
Yeah, I don't have the Titans winning the division. I've got Indianapolis. I still think they'll be good. You know, Tannehill's like the obvious regression candidate because he played out of his mind last year. And in my mind, he's not going to be as good as he was last year. But if he's even, you know, 75% as good, they have enough talent on that team and coaches, I think, to be competitive. Green Bay is a team many people are pointing to as a team that's likely to sort of see some decline, and I think they probably will and should, but I still think they have a good shot at making the playoffs because the division is so wide open.
Thank you, Mina. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
That's Mina Kimes from ESPN. You can follow her on Twitter at Mina Kimes.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
312-332-3776. Salim and Elgin, you're on ESPN 1000. Salim. What's up, Salim?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good, man. What's up?
Hey, just wanted to comment a couple of things about the NBA. Watching this Bucks and my Heat series,
yeah,
I definitely think Miami can take this. I'm still a big, huge Jimmy Butler fan, and he really has that team confident that they can take this the Milwaukee team out. And I think a factor also is the coaching battle between Spo and Bud, and so far, Spo has been out coaching him. So that's something to look at as well. And then I don't know if you guys have seen Embiid. Every time Miami's playing, is tweeting.
I saw it.
Yeah, I'm thinking, you think he would force his way to Miami this offseason?
Someone's going to Miami, and his name is Embiid or his name is Giannis. I'm just saying.
Thanks for the call, Salim. Appreciate it. I mean, I did see the Embiid tweets. Also, like, right now, it's 87-82 with a minute left in the third quarter. Heat with the lead. You're like, how is this happening? Antetokounmpo only has 16 points tonight. He does have 8 rebounds, 3 assists in 24 minutes.
Well, the Heat's defense has been out of this world.
The Heat are playing great defense. Yeah. Right now, Jimmy Butler, only 8 points, but they have 12 from Bam. Crowder has 11, 17 from Dragic. Duncan Robinson has 13, 12 from Tyler Hero. So, I mean, like Salim was saying, like, it's an all-out effort from the Heat. They're playing great defense. They're up 3. And they have a chance to lead going into the fourth quarter in game 2. And I think the Bucks might be in trouble.
Do you think?
Well, they were slipping before the season stopped.
If they lose this game, I mean, I'm not going to say it's over, but it's over.
I mean, before the season was stopped because of the pandemic, the Bucks were just on like the worst stretch of games that they played the entire year, even though they were crushing the Eastern Conference. And then we wait, we get to the bubble, and they don't look quite right, and it's interesting. Let's go to our Football is Back segment.
We missed you, football.
Hut.
Black and Abdallah.
Oh, whoa! What a hit!
Best time of year again, back to football.
Now watch him, he's going. Hut.
What a catch!
Oh, God.
DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh! I'm excited, man. I'm super excited.
Black and Abdallah.
Domination.
Oh, my goodness!
On ESPN 1000.
We missed you, football, and it's great to have you back.
We only have a few shows until the start of the football season. We have 4 next week, obviously up until Thursday, and then we have 2 more this week, tonight and Thursday night. So the football season's right around the corner, and as a part of our Football is Back segment tonight, Abdallah, we take a look at my top 10 storylines heading into the 2020 NFL season.
Right.
So I'm going to give you my list.
Taking a segment off.
You tell me.
Oh, I have to do work? Okay,
yeah, you have to respond to what I think the top 10 storylines are.
I was getting a break.
Heading into the 2020 NFL season.
Okay.
Number 10, should we expect all rookie quarterbacks to struggle this year? Remember that the offseason is not normal. They didn't have the normal OTAs and the training camps and everything. So should we expect all quarterbacks in the NFL, Tua, Burrow, Herbert, all the quarterbacks to struggle in this season? Will that be a storyline?
I think you see all rookies struggle, originally.
Kyler didn't struggle.
Yeah. I would say that any new quarterback in a new situation who's unfamiliar, like, I'm taking Foles out of this because he knows Nagy's system. So I think anybody in a new system will struggle out of the gate, yes. Because game speed is different than practice speed.
Let me throw this out there. This is a non-Bears, a non-COVID-19
list. But you just said, will they struggle? They're obviously going to struggle because they haven't had preseason games.
No. But I'm saying, like,
so it's COVID-19.
Like, if you said, what are the top 10 storylines? Obviously, making sure we get through the 2020 season because of COVID-19 and testing protocols. Like, we're not getting lost in that minutia tonight.
No.
So I'm just making.
I just wanted to put it out there because people would be like, "Yeah, but Foles is new. He's not. He knows Nagy's system."
This is a non-Bears, non-COVID-19 list.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Number 9, DeAndre Hopkins and Kyler Murray will become the most exciting duo.
It only took 2 questions
in the NFL
to get to Kyler Murray.
They will become the most exciting duo in the NFL. Number 9.
I will say yes, depending on how much Gronkowski has, because I think Brady to Gronk is something that everyone wants to see again.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Gronk's going to be there with him.
Yeah.
Skinny Gronk, though?
Listen, he's got enough time to put on some muscle.
I'm ready. Ready for this 2 second take. Pass his prime. Wow. Out on Gronk. Number eight, the NFC or AFC West will be the best division in football. Number eight,
AFC West will be the best division in football.
The AFC or the NFC West will be the best division in football.
The NFC West will be.
Okay, so number eight will be the NFC West.
Because I don't believe in the Chargers or the Raiders.
Really?
Yeah.
No Raiders? The Broncos are everyone's hot team?
Yeah. I believe more in the four teams in the NFC West.
Hot to trot?
Yeah,
okay.
I don't
number,
like that
number
one.
Seven, top 10 storylines hanging
out of
into
three
the,
so far.
Hanging into the 2020 NFL season. Make or break year for Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold as they head into year three quarterbacking the Browns and the Jets. That will be the seventh storyline.
I would say, and this is for the people on Twitch, so if you've got us on a tab, make sure you're looking. I would say it's definitely a make or bake year.
Let that breathe. Number six, Aaron Rodgers, the Packers, they draft Jordan Love. They were a 13-3 team, but I think the Packers' story arc throughout the season will be the sixth storyline heading into this season.
Yes, I agree. That's a good one. Good one. Okay. So you're what is that, 4 out of 5?
I don't know. You're supposed to be keeping track
four
of
out
this.
Of five.
Number five, top 10 storylines heading into the 2020 NFL season. Can Cam Newton and the Patriots make
the playoffs?
Oh, wait,
hold on. I just thought of a better one. It's a bake or break year.
We're on Cam Newton and the Patriots. I know you're looking for the Twitch feedback, but
I just wanted it was better.
Yeah, no, I know. Number five, can Cam Newton and the Patriots make a playoff run?
Yeah, I think so. Look, I'm not going to count Bill Belichick out. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he will tailor a game plan that is Cam conducive to what he can do and what his abilities are. Hopefully he takes less hits this year so he can stay healthy. And I think, I think the Bills will win the division, but I think that they could be a wild card team.
Top 10 storylines for the 2020 NFL season. Number four, will Dak Prescott make the Cowboys regret dragging out his contract situation?
Yeah, absolutely. He's going to make them pay for that, for sure. I hope he lights it up and gets that money. I hope he does.
Number three, Lamar Jackson, the NFL MVP, and the Ravens have all of the hype heading into this season.
I don't know if they have all the hype because I think all the hype is still around Mahomes and the Chiefs and what they can do. I think this is a let's see Lamar do it again year for a lot of people. I believe he's going to be great. I still think he's going to be good, but it's a let's see defenses adjust him. I think that's what you're going to get from the prognosticators.
Number two on the list, mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs look to repeat.
There you go. Yes. Yes. Yes.
And yeah. Number one. Do you have a number one on the table?
Number one.
Number one.
Number one.
Top storyline
for Travis
the 2020
Barker.
NFL season. Tom Brady and the Bucks. Can Brady take another team to the playoffs?
Yeah, I think they'll go to the playoffs. I think that they're a good offense and a talented team. And I think adding a better quarterback, a quarterback who takes care of the football a little more than Jameis did, I believe that they are for sure. So 9 out of 10. There's one I didn't like.
What's the one you didn't like?
I think it was like the third one. What was the third one? What was the third from the bottom?
NFC or AFC West?
Yeah, I didn't like that one. It's the NFC West. Bad question.
But that means that they're the best in football. I'm not saying either or. I'm saying one of them will be. Did you not understand what I was saying?
No, I did. I still didn't like the question.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Thank you to Sean Davis for producing tonight's show. Thanks to Mina Kimes for talking football with us just a little bit ago. If you missed it, check out the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. You can also find the baseball show right there on the ESPN Chicago app. And wherever you download your podcasts, Apple Pods, Spotify, TuneIn, all of the above, ESPN Chicago app. You can download a podcast, subscribe, rate, review, Black and Abdallah right there. Here on ESPN 1000. We're with you each night, 6 to 8, right here on ESPN 1000. Did you see earlier today David Blaine? He had his little stunt, his balloon stunt going
his
up
gimmick,
in the air.
His gimmick, you
now,
mean?
Now, we broke this story to our fine listeners here on Black and Abdallah, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, that mm-hmm. David Blaine was going to, here's the concept of the stunt. He was going to hold on to balloons, go up in the air, like the movie Up, and at some point get so high, let go, and parachute back to Earth. This was the stunt. I believe they titled it Ascension.
It was called Ascension.
And so it was broadcasted this morning on YouTube. Now, you might ask, okay, if there's this big production, this big stunt, why did he do it in the morning? I thought about it for like a half second, and then I realized, TV. Right? Like, the whole concept of watching him go up in the air like that is you'd have to see him.
Well, he...
Right? So for TV effect, to be able to see the ground in the background, like, you have to do it in sunlight. You can't do it at night.
Well, he also needed to do it... he didn't know what day he was going to do it. Like, earlier in the week...
It was a floating target based on the weather.
Yeah, he was like, I have to, you know, winds and everything like that. And so, and then, like, a couple days ago, he was like, it's going to be Wednesday. And so he did it this morning, and he put a bunch of balloons, and he... You know, strapped his arm in.
Well, and, so like the picture is of him holding on to a bunch of balloons.
He's not.
He's actually strapped to a device that's connected to helium balloons.
Yeah.
That took him up over 20,000 feet in the air. I think he got almost to like 24,000 feet.
Cool.
What do you mean cool? It's crazy. My palms were sweaty the entire time as he was going up. Okay, here's my question: if you didn't get a chance to see it, There was a lot of... It took like 45 minutes for him to get up to that altitude. He did a lot of things up there that could have been done on the ground.
I think that was the point, though.
To waste the time point, and to do meaningless tasks on his way up.
Well, no, it's like, look, it's so much harder for me to put the put the parachute on now. Or maybe it was like a weight thing.
Well, no, because the parachute was within the balloons. So they got to like 8,000 feet. And he put the parachute on up in the air.
Yeah, I don't.
So like what he had to do is he had to pull the cable and the parachute came down in a bag. He had to open the bag, drop the bag,
mm-hmm.
and then put on the parachute.
Did he secure the bag?
He probably did based on what YouTube set up for this.
Okay.
He probably did secure the bag. Quite a nice bag, I would assume.
Okay.
He's David Blaine.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. This gimmick...
It's not a gimmick. This was a challenging item. Because think about it. As you go up in altitude, your breathing changes. The amount of oxygen you're taking in.
So what?
You could lose consciousness.
Was he going to die?
So let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. You go up that high, you lose consciousness. What's going to happen?
A helicopter goes up there and gets you.
There is a certain point where the helicopters couldn't go any higher, and he was going beyond that.
They'll go get him.
No, you can't go get... How do you go get him?
You go. Strap another guy in and go up there.
He already has an hour head start. How does that work?
You figure it out.
No,
How about this? Get a rifleman, and you
can't
start shooting down balloons.
Nope, can't do it.
You take a helicopter up there.
No. Helicopters could go a certain height.
Plane.
I believe it was like the 20,000-foot threshold is when the helicopters stopped going with them up.
Plane.
The plane? What are you, drive by a plane? Was this a Christopher Nolan movie?
Yeah.
And Bane's going to just come up next to him?
Big-ass cargo planes. You just scoop them up.
No, I don't.
Listen, I'm telling you this. This is not the Dark Knight. This is some BS, okay?
What do you mean?
You know why this is BS? Because at no point was he in risk of death. And you know what's more impressive to me? When he goes to celebrities' houses and puts like cards and oranges and stuff.
No.
That's more impressive because I don't know how you did that. I know how you did this. You put a bunch of helium balloons and you went up and then you strapped in case you fell, you had a parachute. This is like the dude, the Walenda guy who's strapped in the whole time. No risk of death.
No, the Walenda's. No risk of death. You're right. That's a joke. I'm out on that. The Walendas, I mean, they have too many safety protocols.
So does this.
No, dude.
No,
I don't think you're understanding.
So does this.
He was up there by himself. At a certain point, there is no other solution other than him staying conscious and then parachuting back to Earth. What do you think? He's just going to float away? Like it's gravity? Like
he's not just going to float
Sandra
away.
Bullock? He's just going to figure
it
out.
Eventually, he'll come back down to Earth.
Gravity?
Yes, I've seen Gravity. Yes. I'm getting you some David, because since you're such a David Blaine head, a Blaine boy. Blaine boy. Since you're a Blaine boy, I'm getting you some David Blaine gear.
I'm serious. If you got a chance to watch this morning on YouTube, I mean, it was everywhere. It was trending. People were talking about it. I mean, I was nervous for him.
Are you partial to lions or sharks?
I mean, he's got a pretty sick logo, but I guess I
can get you the Blaine. Actually, I don't think I can get you the Blaine logo on a shirt.
Does he have like face masks?
No, he's got hats. He's got t-shirts.
I'll wear a t-shirt. Wear a Blaine.
Well, that's why I'm asking you. T-shirt? Do you want a shark on the cover or on the front of it, or do you want a lion on
probably
the front
a lion?
Of it? Okay,
lions are cool.
Would you like a tote bag?
No tote bag
for your groceries, so you can be eco-friendly.
No,
and also supporting David Blaine.
No.
Would you like a backpack? He's got a David Blaine /the North Face.
I have a backpack.
He's got a collab.
I'll wear a shirt, though.
He's got a collab, a sick collab with the North Face.
I'll wear a shirt.
No, you won't.
So you're not impressed
not at all by this? Not at all.
You weren't nervous at all?
No. I turned it on. You sent me, you're like, are you watching this David Blaine thing? And I go, no. And I turned it on, and I saw that he was strapped in, and I saw that he had a parachute on, and I turned it off. And I went, this is dumb. This is stupid. This is a gimmick.
This is breaking news.
Oh, no.
On Chicago's home for sports,
what do we have?
ESPN 1000.
I would like to spend the last minute of the show here talking about David Blaine, but Adam Schefter is reporting Jaguars running back, former running back, Leonard Fournette is signing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom Brady and the Bucs.
Is that Tom Brady going to Bruce Arians and being like, hey, you know what Belichick would do, right?
He would sign Leonard Fournette.
He'd sign Fournette. Go get him.
So there you go, Bears fans. Leonard Fournette off the street.
Okay.
He will be a Buck. He will be in the backfield with Tom Brady and that Bucs offense, which is fantastic. Now they have a quarterback who can take care of the football.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't know if they're a playoff team now because of that move, but they're better because of it.
I can't believe you don't like David Blaine.
I don't. I like him when he's doing like stuff in person.
That was a challenging feat he had today in the balloons.
Putting your body through stuff isn't impressive to me. I get it.
We'll be back tomorrow with Waddle and Sylvia, too.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.